First Baptist Church of Redmond, September 25th, 2022. John chapter 10. In good hands.
Please rise and join me in reading John 10, 28 through 30. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You may be seated.
Colonnade that ran across the eastern wall of the temple. Literally, what they say is, until when do you lift up or take away our soul? Lifting up of the soul has here the meaning of keeping the person in suspense. The question may be asked, why had Jesus not told them plainly, I am the Christ? But he already had. He had revealed himself as such to the Samaritan woman in chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. Why had he not used the same clear language is speaking to the Jews. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. Jesus explains that unbelief has a blinding effect, a lack of faith. It produces the lack of faith. The words had accompanied by works. He had indicated that he was the Christ. He was baptized by John in a fulfilled prophecy. But, he had not only said the right words, he had done miraculous things that shocked and amazed the people when they saw it. Think of the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, of the man born blind in chapters 5 and 9. Jesus was consistently doing works in the name of his Father, by his direction, in cooperation with him, especially with the purpose of revealing his power, love, and glory. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. The failure to believe, that open hostility, the open hostility of the Jews in trying to kill him more than once, is their sin. For this they, and they alone, are fully responsible. Nevertheless, there is also another factor. The sheep of the good shepherd are those who have been given to him by the Father in 10:29. They listen to the shepherd's voice, and they follow him. It says that in John 10, 3 and 4. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What are the characteristics of being Jesus' followers? First, my sheep listen to my voice. They listen to obey. And I know them. He knows each of us who have trusted him as Savior by name. They follow me. We all follow imperfectly. We don't pick up the steps of the shepherd exactly, but generally, we follow him. We follow his words. We follow his character. We're supposed to act like the word Christians is a mocking word. It means little Christs. But that's where we are, chips off the old block. And most notably, I give them everlasting life. That will come up most notably in John chapter 11. And they shall certainly, it's a certainty, never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. What is stated here accordingly amounts in brief to this. My sheep, having become such because they were given to me by my Father, put forth an effort to catch the sound of my voice. They do this constantly. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one was able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. No one is able to snatch. This no one, think of the wolf of 12:10, must be permitted to stand in all its absolutes. Neither Satan, I want you to look at that word Satan. It's not the name of the person named. Satan means deceiver. So Satan is the father of lies. The angel, the anointed cherub who covered in Ezekiel, is never named. We never know the name of the individual. He was an angel. He was probably the highest status of angel, but we don't know his name. We only know his character. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. His name isn't Satan. It was described as Satan. Neither Satan, nor the clever false prophet, nor the powerful persecutor, nor anyone else shall ever be able to snatch any sheep of the flock out of the hand of the Father. Why? I and the Father are one. Note how carefully both the diversity of the persons and the unity of the essence is expressed here. Jesus clearly says, I and the Father. Hence, he clearly speaks about two persons. There's at least two persons in the... we know that there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this plurality is shown by the verb, one word in Greek, we are, we. He speaks of a we. These two persons never become one person. They're both God, they're both divine. Hence, Jesus does not say we are one person. If you want to study the Greek later, it's eis and en. But he says we are one substance. Though two persons, the two are one essence or substance. They're both divine. They both share the divine essence, but they're separate persons. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied to them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? What Jesus means is this. For what kind of work? The quality is stressed. The quality of the work that Jesus did is the quality of work that the Father would have done miraculously. Are you trying to stone me? The works which Jesus had performed, being works from the Father, showed that Jesus and the Father are one. He is not a blasphemer and should not be stoned, but should be worshipped. The Jews answered him, we are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. The Jews regarded Jesus as a mere man who committed the terrible sin of trying to make others believe that he was God. There was blasphemy to be punished with death. Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you're gods'?" Look at the Psalm 82:6. Jesus is quoting that. "I said, you are gods. You are all children of the Most High." Follow what Jesus says. The argument which Jesus employs is unanswerable. It is based on Psalm 82:6, which pictures God in the act of entering the assembly of judges and condemning them because of their unfairness. If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be nullified, made to mean nothing, are you saying of him who the Father sanctified and said into the world, "You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God"? It is because the word of God came to them. The word of God that came to them is the one that appointed them as judges and placed them in their high and holy office. Thus, in the present case, no power nor ingenuity of man can alter Scripture and the fact that Yahweh, Jehovah, called his human judges gods or Elohim. If I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand the Father is in me and I in the Father. Think of Luke chapter 15. A man had 100 sheep, but he left the 99 to search for the one. In the next story that Jesus told, a woman had 10 coins, and she lost one, and she ripped up the whole house looking for the lost coin. And finally, the parable of the lost son. A man had 2 sons. The older one was faithful in a way, but the younger one left. So the father waited seemingly every day for his son to return. First, 1 out of 100. Second, 1 out of 10. Third, 1 out of 2. Jesus told this story because he wanted to communicate how valuable we are in his sight. Jesus came and died for us all, I believe. God wants for us most too, I say it every week, God wants us most to trust him, believe in him. Why? If we believe in God, really trust him, then we'll change. If we trust God with our whole heart, David trusted God with his whole heart. Was David sinless? No, but David knew how to repent. And he didn't make the same mistake, I think, twice. If God has our whole heart, if we really trust in him as our Savior, we will change. So God wants us most to trust him. Tender and earnest is the appeal of Jesus, urging people to place their confidence, their trust in him. Was this invitation fruitless? in view of the fact that most of the listeners were enemies of the truth, the Sanhedrin, a yes answer might seem to be correct. But it was borne in mind that even among the enemies of God, the Sanhedrin, in all probability, God has some who will ultimately turn to him, at least Nicodemus, at least Joseph of Arimathea. Therefore, we are seeking again to arrest him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he stayed there. They have given up the attempt to stone him, but now they try to arrest him in order to deliver him to this whole Sanhedrin for condemnation and punishment. What time of the year was it? December, Christmas. So by the Passover celebration, less than 4 months later, he would give his life for them all. However, as his time had not yet arrived, he escaped out of their hand. John the Baptist, that's an abbreviation for John the Baptist, baptizer, had gradually ascended the Jordan Valley until he had reached Bethany just east of the Jordan, about 13 miles below the Sea of Galilee and about 20 miles southeast of Nazareth. We think that's where Jesus was. Many came to him and were saying, while John before, no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. They recalled what John had said about Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And when they had heard the words of Jesus, as they flocked around him and saw his signs. The Bible tells you that all the signs of Jesus were not revealed in Scripture, because he must have done many signs to accompany his divinity, to show that he was who he said he was. They exclaimed, John did no sign, yet everything John said about this man being the Lamb of God was true for us. What is particularly striking is the fact that this section, which on the one hand shows the progress of hostility, hope and hostility to Jesus, on the other hand, is so full of earnest exhortation and tender appeal. Sometimes these admonitions are clearly expressed. At other times, they are just as clearly implied. Such passages are mentioned in the latter group are not really grasped until one understands that by showing the greatness of the blessings which are bestowed upon true believers, Jesus earnestly invites sinners to come to him, to embrace him, and to have a living faith. Though not in actual form, the language may not be of invitation. In essence, it is surely an invitation to come to him. And by holding forth blessings which he has to give, it in reality speaks even louder. I want to tell you the importance of just one thing that's common English usage. The Oxford comma is perhaps the most controversial piece of punctuation in the English language. There are conflicting guidelines governing whether or not the extra commas at the end of a list should be used depending on which authority one consults. Those in opposition say the comma is unnecessary, while supporters of the comma argue that it serves to clarify an instance whether two items are meant to belong together or not. As an example, I'd like to thank my parents, comma, Mother Teresa and the Pope. The controversy heated up recently whenever a judge in Maine ruled that a dairy company owed its employees approximately $10 million in unpaid overtime expenses for an absent Oxford comma, which rendered a list of overtime exemptions slightly ambiguous. The ruling reversed the decision of a lower court, though not an official stance. The lawyer representing the drivers of the company said that cases of ambiguous sentences, the best rule to live by is this, quote, if there's any doubt, tear up what you have said and start over. It is amazing what kind of confusion can be caused by one missing punctuation mark. By the grace of God, however, the Bible is abundantly clear when it comes to the inerrancy of Scripture, the gospel, and the identity of Jesus Christ. We do not need to fear misunderstandings of either the Bible or the person of Jesus because it has been revealed as unambiguously as possible. Jesus said, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A lot of people may have reasons that are not reasons, but they think there are reasons for not believing in Jesus. These reasons are numerous. But the fact is undeniable. Jesus claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, and he even said, no one comes to the Father except through him. So Jesus is the gateway. He is the door of the sheep. He is the door of the sheepfold. And if you want to come to Christ as a way to come to the Father, you have to come through Christ to see the Father and have eternal life. That was the message Jesus tried to communicate, and that is the message Jesus still tries to communicate.